Kids, being you're in here this morning, I need you to help me out. What do you want to be when you grow up? Shout it out. Let me hear. You know what I wanted to be when I was little? A garbage man. And if not a garbage man, I wanted to be a fireman. You know why? Those two, the guys got to ride outside the truck, hanging on the back of the truck going down the road, and that's what I wanted to do. And then I got a little bit older, and I told my mother, I want to be a Rainer Brothers man. And she said, a Rainer Brothers man? Well, Rainer Brothers was the name of my family's mail order nursery and farm. My grandfather and his brother had started it, sold strawberry plants, blueberry plants, fruit trees, and that was my dream. I went to college, majored in agricultural mechanization to come back home to the farm, and that's what I was doing. And Lana and I got married. I was still a Rainer Brothers man. But things started changing. My life got disrupted. Lana and I bought a farm. We built a chicken house on it to help pay for the farm. I began to build chicken houses and install equipment on farms all over Delmarva. A couple days before my dad died back in 2020, he looked at me and says, you know, one of my regrets is that it didn't work out for you working at Rainer Brothers. I said, everything worked out just fine. Yeah, things got disrupted. Dreams changed. But the more I thought about it, the more I realized I think it would have been harder for me to leave a third-generation family farm than it was, as hard as it was, to sell our chicken farm and move to Kansas City so I could go to seminary. I think God caused a disruption there that was unexpected in order to prepare us for another disruption that we weren't prepared for. God has a way of bringing disruption into our lives. And if you think about it, that's what Christmas is all about. God disrupted the course of history when Jesus was born. Luke tells us Mary's story. Gabriel shows up to Mary and says, greetings, favored woman. The Lord is with you. Now, you want to talk about an unexpected disruption. Now, I've never had this happen to me. In the Bible, we have two places, Daniel and Mary. Gabriel shows up. I'm going to tell you, if Gabriel shows up, things are going to get disrupted. He's got a message that's going to churn things up. Luke 1:29, confused and disturbed. Mary tried to think what the angel could mean. Don't be afraid, Mary, the angel told her, for you have found favor with God. You will conceive and give birth to a son, and you will name him Jesus. Now, I can only imagine her mind's blown, right? What do I do with this? I mean, she would have been a young girl. Betrothal usually took place somewhere between 12 and 13 years old. Now, think about that. 12 or 13 years old. It was a legally binding arrangement between families. The groom and his family would have put down the bride price, the price agreed upon for a virgin bride from the groom's family. Then the bride's family, in return, would put down a dowry. It was what the bride was going to take with her into the relationship, into that marriage, into her new family. And the family was betrothed for about a year. And then they would be married. But the couple didn't live together or consummate marriage until they were actually married that year after betrothal. So Mary's pledged to Joseph. Perhaps she dreamed of raising a family, of being involved in the community, in the synagogue, in the small town of Nazareth, a town with a bad reputation, but it was home for Mary. And then this strange message from this angel Gabriel is an unexpected disruption to Mary and all of her plans. She did not see this coming. Mary asked the angel, "But how can this happen? I'm a virgin." The angel replied, "The Holy Spirit will come upon you, and the power of the Most High will overshadow you. So the baby to be born will be holy, and he will be called the Son of God. What's more, your relative Elizabeth has become pregnant in her old age. People used to say she was barren, but she has conceived a son and is now in her sixth month. For the word of God will never fail." Mary responded, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." And then the angel left her. God sent a messenger to Mary, and in the matter of a few minutes, maybe a few seconds, her entire life, all of her dreams, all of her plans were disrupted. The only thing she had done was find favor with God, and her life was turned upside down. Mary did not fully understand what Gabriel was saying, but she was willing to receive whatever God brought to her. Her response to God was, "Yes. Now, what's this mean? How's this happen?" She says, "I am the Lord's servant. May everything you have said about me come true." She knew it would not be easy. She knew people would talk. She knew the town would be buzzing about her, and her reputation would be trashed. But she was willing to allow God to disrupt her life with this holy disruption. She didn't know what Joseph's response was going to be. She didn't know if her parents were going to kick her out of the house. She could end up homeless, jobless, destitute, on the streets, but she trusted God to take care of all of that. She just surrendered everything to God. We all have dreams or plans or thoughts about the future. Picasso famously said, "Every child is an artist. The problem is how to remain an artist once they grow up." As kids grow up, they begin to compare themselves to others. And after a while, their confidence and their own creativity, artistic abilities wane. We begin to let others put us into their molds to shape who we are, how we think. In fact, most of us let other people shape us more than we allow God to shape us. And our abilities, our skills, don't necessarily line up with our childhood or even our adult dreams. I had dreams of being a football player, but I'm too small and too slow. So that never happened. Couldn't be a reality. But the question I think we need to ask ourselves, and we need to ask our children and ask them, get them to explore there, what are God's plans for you? How has God gifted you? What are the passions God's placed in your heart? And how do we develop those dreams, those plans, those goals, as we watch for God's direction in our lives? God's plans unexpectedly disrupted Mary's plans. And believe me, he'll do the same thing to us if we'll allow him to. And what may seem like a disruption may actually be the greatest blessing you could ever imagine. Sometimes those disruptions, following God's plan instead of our own plan, can lead to opposition from family and from others, lead to persecution. Are we open to God's unexpected, God-sized disruptions in our life? And I've heard some of your stories. I know the Prettymans took off from Easton and went out to Kansas City and then down to Branson and back to Easton again. That was disruption in their family because they were involved with a ministry and God called them to do that. I know Dio went from D.C. to New York City to Federalsburg. You go from New York City to Federalsburg? That's culture shock. That's what happens. Ron Rafter felt God called him to get out of the business partnership he was in and sold out of that. I know there's a whole bunch of stories in here of how people have heard God and allowed him to disrupt their lives. People have taken jobs or left jobs or moved or sacrificed to go where they felt Jesus was leading them to go. And they're all unexpected holy disruptions. Ask the people around you and you will find people that are following Jesus, their life is going to get disrupted along the way. Now, as I said, the Gospel of Luke focuses on Mary, but Matthew focuses on Joseph's side of the story. Matthew begins with this whole genealogy. You know, you get going through it. Okay, yeah. He begins with Abraham and ends with Jacob was the father of Joseph, the husband of Mary. Mary gave birth to Jesus, who is called the Messiah. It doesn't even say Joseph was Jesus' father, just the husband of Mary who gave birth to Jesus. But we pick up in verse 18 of Matthew chapter 1. It says, this is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph. But before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. As he considered this, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. And she will have a son, and you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All of this occurred to fulfill the Lord's message through his prophet. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son, and they will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born, and Joseph named him Jesus. Joseph had plans too. He'd put the down payment down on Mary's hand in marriage. He'd already paid that. Mary's family had paid the dowry. They had an agreement. They both made promises. And they were waiting for the actual marriage and life as a couple to begin. They would have children. They'd raise them in Nazareth. They would teach them to know Yahweh, the God of Israel. They would commit only to one another for the rest of their lives. Only word came to Joseph. We're not told how he found out, but Mary's pregnant. And he knew for a fact he was not the father. I can only imagine the hurt and the thoughts going through his mind in the midst of this. He could have made sure that everyone knew what she had done. He could have got on Facebook and put all kinds of posts about her. She could have faced stoning. though that wasn't common at that time in history. But she would have been shunned as if she were dead. He could have embarrassed her before the whole community. He could have demanded that he gets his bride price back and gets to keep the dowry. Mary would have been considered unmarriageable, scorned, shamed, damaged goods, unacceptable, ungodly. And Joseph, in their culture, had to do something. Both Jewish law and Roman law demanded that you do something if your wife runs around on you, and especially if she gets pregnant. In fact, Roman law, if he didn't do anything, he would have been considered like a pimp pimping his wife out. So he had to do something. He planned to divorce her quietly. Two or three witnesses, papers signed, no fanfare, no financial gain. Get this over with. Going about life. People would still talk. Some would think he was the father, he was a deadbeat dad. Figured he could handle that. His life was disrupted no matter what he did. He was going to be seen either as a victim or a perpetrator. He had to let the opinion of others go. He knew the truth. And as he processed all this disappointment and how he was going to handle it and how his life all of a sudden was thrown into chaos, an angel shows up in a dream. You know, that's always a calming encounter when an angel shows up. That's why they always say, do not be afraid, because as soon as you see him, oh no, what do I do now? And the angel tells him, hey, Mary wasn't with another man. The child within her was conceived by the Holy Spirit. What do you do with that news if you're Joseph? Do what? What are you telling me? I mean, his life is just right now, it's just turmoil. And this news here, what do you do with that? How do you handle that? And it's not the pagan notion of God slept with a human woman and you got this child that's half human and half God. No, that was the pagans. This is the Holy Spirit who hovered over the waters as creation began, hovering over this virgin's womb with new creation. And this young girl, Mary, was going to be carrying God in her womb. One with the Father and the Spirit, the Son. How do you begin to even process all of that? And the angel told Joseph, take Mary as his wife, to raise the child, to name this child Jesus. Now, often the mothers would do the naming of the child. We see that with John the Baptist, said name him John. And they said, there's no John in the family. And went to Zechariah to make sure that's what they were going to name him. But here, Joseph is told to name the son as a way of fully adopting this child as his own. He's claiming this son as his child, Jesus. That's what we call him, derived from the Latin and English, Joshua, or Yahshua, in Hebrew, meaning Yahweh saves. Jesus is legally the son of David through Joseph. He's biologically the son of David through Mary. And just as Joshua, son of Nun, saved Israel from the Gentile enemies and delivered the people into the land God had promised them in the Old Testament, Jesus will save his people from their sins and lead them into the kingdom of God and eternal life. And then Matthew, who likes to make sure, referring back to the Old Testament, showing us how Jesus is fulfilling the Old Testament, brings us back to Isaiah. And he takes advantage of the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible from the 3rd century B.C. Isaiah is confronting King Ahaz of Judah in Isaiah chapter 7, verse 14, he says, all right then, the Lord himself will give you the sign. Look, the virgin will conceive a child. She will give birth to a son and will call him Emmanuel, which means God is with us. That Hebrew word translated virgin can also be translated as a young woman. And that's what it meant in Isaiah's day when Isaiah said the young woman, whether it was his wife or Ahaz's wife or another young woman, we don't really know. But there's going to be this child. Name this child Emmanuel, meaning God with us. Isaiah is explaining to Ahaz at this time that this child is going to be born. And before that child is old enough to know right from wrong, these two kings you're all worried about aren't even going to be around. So quit worrying about them and trying to make all these alliances and trust God. And what he's saying is this child who's going to grow up, before that child knows right from wrong, these two kings are going to be gone. And you're going to know that God is with you. Matthew says, Isaiah didn't know it, but he was looking even further forward as well. Oh, it was fulfilled in Isaiah's day, but it's further fulfilled in this true virgin, this young girl, Mary, who's never been with a man. And she's going to have this child. And his name is Emmanuel, because God is really, actually with us. That prophecy fully fulfilled in Bethlehem. The Jews didn't make images of their God, which the Romans and others did. Romans actually called them atheists because they didn't have these images. But God, not giving them an image, showed up himself. He didn't send a messenger. God became man and dwelt among us. And that's why we can't say, well, you can get to God any way you want. No, God came to us in one way and said, this is the way to me. We can't make up our own ways on how to get to God. Jesus, fully God, fully man, born of a virgin, the son of Mary, adopted son of Joseph, raised in the town of Nazareth, fully revealed himself. God fully revealed himself in this person. What we know about Jesus, we know about God. When Joseph woke up, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded and took Mary as his wife. But he did not have sexual relations with her until her son was born. And Joseph named him Jesus. The part that doesn't get added in here is, and the rest of Joseph's life and plans were disrupted. He had to flee to Egypt because Herod wanted to kill his son. Then he comes back to Israel, and then he goes to Nazareth. Oh, he lost God's son one day, wasn't sure where he was. And then Joseph just kind of fades out of the picture. Many of you here this morning know that kids disrupt your life. They might be disturbing you here this morning. I loved it when Bennett grabbed that mic and wanted to talk. So sometimes kids disrupt things. And sometimes that's so cool. I remember when my daughter-in-law, Kimmy, was pregnant with Theo and was talking to Joshua. Everybody keeps talking about how different our life's going to be after we have this baby. It's not really going to be that different. I think he would tell you differently now. Now there's some disruptions with children you expect, right? There's certain things, well, we're going to have to make sure we have a babysitter. We're going to have to do this. But there's certain things throughout the years where kids disrupt things and you had no idea. Can you imagine raising Jesus? I mean, I try to think about it sometimes. It just messes with my head. I mean, he was one of the little kids in the synagogue. Can you imagine the rabbi up there trying to teach? And you got a 3-year-old sitting there saying, I mean, just think about He came fully human. Jesus disrupted Mary and Joseph's lives. But that is what Jesus does. He disrupts our lives. Just ask Peter and Andrew, James and John. I mean, they're fishermen doing what fishermen do. They're cleaning their nets at the end of the day and they're tired. And Jesus says, follow me. And they drop their nets. This unexpected disruption, and their life is never the same. They end up being fishers of men. They go all over the world sharing the message of the good news of Jesus, and they disrupt the world with the message that they share. And the same to the disciples. And then Paul, you got to love Paul. Paul describes himself to the Pharisees. I was circumcised when I was 8 days old. I'm a pure-blooded citizen of Israel, a member of the tribe of Benjamin, a real Hebrew if there ever was one. I was a member of the Pharisees who demanded the strictest obedience to Jewish law. I was so zealous that I harshly persecuted the church. As for righteousness, I obeyed the law without fault. He persecuted the church as an abomination against God. And then Jesus shows up, knocks him on his butt, blinded him, and sent him on a whole different path. He's in a house, and God sent this messenger, Ananias, and laid hands on him and prayed for him, and scales fell off his eyes, and he could see again. And then he gave Paul some instructions. Paul was blinded and could see again, both physically and spiritually. He went from being the chief persecutor of the church to the chief missionary to Gentiles. People that he would have looked down his nose to, he wouldn't have even greeted them, wouldn't have had anything to do with them. And now God's got him going to the Gentiles and sharing the good news of Jesus. God specializes in disrupting our lives. Throughout history, like Mary and Joseph, when people allow Jesus into their lives, things are never the same. He changes our direction. He changes our minds. He changes our hearts. Some of the greatest moments in life are when God brings these holy disruptions orchestrated by our relationship with Jesus. I read a story of a young lady who, like many college students, was graduating and trying to figure out what now. She loved Jesus and was really praying, trying to seek where God might want to use her. And she felt like he was leading her to join this group called Teach America. They send teachers into these school systems that are dilapidated, the places nobody wants to go. So she went there. And when she came back, she met with her professor. And she was just talking about how much she loved what she was doing. She says, I really love teaching those kids, and they love me. She said, this experience, this opportunity, this unexpected disruption in her life was wonderful, but scary. She said, what if God is really working through me? You ever think about it? What if God is really working through you? And then she says, what if this is how God wants me to spend the rest of my life? You know, we get ready for Christmas. We decorate. We buy gifts. We have plans. We have dreams of how it's all going to work out. But in reality, Christmas is about God coming to earth, coming into our lives, and causing unexpected disruption. And I know for some of you right now, that is just bringing anxiety. I want to be in control. Guess what? When Jesus comes in, you lose control. How do you think Mary and Joseph felt? Fear and excitement joining hand in hand is what happens when Jesus comes into our lives bringing unexpected disruptions. Can God really use me? Can God really use you? I can imagine that was Mary and Joseph's question too. Can God really use me to bring his son into the lives of others? He can, if we're willing to allow Jesus to disrupt our lives. Because when Jesus is born into our hearts, our dreams, our plans die, and new dreams, new plans are born. As the Holy Spirit hovers over us and Christ grows in us. So would we embrace in faith and obedience the new course God wants to take us on? Joyful in the call to serve God. See, I think that's one of the lessons for us for Christmas. Don't be surprised if God enters our lives with an unexpected disruption and calls us to live faithfully and obedient in a new reality. Don't be surprised at all, because that's what he does. That's what he did in Christ. And that's what we celebrate at Christmas. Emmanuel. God became one with us, born in a stable in Bethlehem. But also, before he ascended to the Father, after his crucifixion and resurrection, he said, I am with you always. Emmanuel, with us to the end of the age. He's still with us. Still stirring us, still disrupting the status quo, revealing his kingdom to this world. That's Emmanuel, God with us. Heavenly Father, thank you. Thank you, thank you for your gift. Thank you, Jesus, for letting go of heaven and becoming human, entering into time, entering into your creation. Lord, help us to let you disrupt us. Help us to see when those disruptions come that though they might drive us crazy, they just might be a gift from you. Lord, as we celebrate your birth today and tomorrow, as we gather with family and friends, Lord, help us to not allow the disruptions to bring anxiety to us, but help us to look for where you're working in the midst of the disruptions. Lord, and as our kids get ready to come up here, and remind us of your good news. Lord, bless them and bless us through them. May we hear from you the message these kids are going to share with us. I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.